Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. And for those of you who are enjoying George Vesey before the news on the World Cup, you may want to stay tuned for former Mets pitcher R.A. Dickey coming up later in the program with his new children's book, Knuckleball Ned, and on reading books in the bullpen, one of baseball's favorite bookworms, R.A. Dickey. So we've got literature, we've got sports all rolled into one. We've got children's literacy coming up with R.A. Dickey later on. But right now, you can get a venti anything from Starbucks. Now you might be able to get a college degree if you work there too. The company has announced a partnership with Arizona State University to reimburse their employees, the company calls them partners, for a college degree. Here is Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz from an interview with WNYC yesterday.
The end goal is to demonstrate that success is best when it's shared. This is not about making more money. This is about attracting and retaining great people. And I think most importantly, providing an opportunity for our employees, a free college education and access to education that unfortunately they're not able to get on their own.
Could this be a model for higher education in the future? Anya Kamenetz is back with us now. Both of the strands of this are kind of right in her wheelhouse, the intersection of her two books, Generation Debt, Why Now is a Terrible Time to Be Young, and DIYU, Edupunks, Edupreneurs, and the Coming Transformation of Higher Education. She's on the NPR education team. Hi, Anya. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. It's great to be here.
And there is some fine print on this deal, we should say first. So what's your understanding of how this will work and who it's actually for?
Well, Howard Schultz and ASU President Michael Crow got to know each other over some shared interests and policy concerns, and they really have hatched a plan that's designed to satisfy both of their corporate goals, or I should say institutional goals. And so what that means is, for example, the freshman and sophomore years, if you're coming into school for the first time as a barista, you won't get a full scholarship. It's only a partial scholarship from Starbucks. And then for the junior and senior years, it is a complete reimbursement. But notice that word reimbursement, you do have to put in the money up front, and that does mean taking out student loans. And on top of that, I think, you know, notable is the idea that you have to work at least 20 hours a week at Starbucks, but they also want you to be enrolled full time in order to take advantage of this.
So you have to be doing a kind of barista work study, working 20 hours a week, but be enrolled as a full time online student with Arizona State, correct?
Right. And, you know, 20 hours a week is right on the line. Researchers say that for you know, it's a fine line between working students and students who work. And once you're working 20 hours a week or over, it becomes very difficult to actually remain enrolled full time and graduate on time. But obviously, they're structuring this deal with a big financial incentive to do that, just that.
And how much debt need someone incur in order to do this? Well, the New York Times crunched the numbers, and each credit at Arizona State costs between $480 and $543. Students would need to complete 21 credits before the first reimbursement, so that would come out to between $10,000 and roughly $11,500 up front for a student. So why wouldn't a company just and I know some companies do this with their employees for certain master's degree courses or whatever, but why wouldn't the company just lay out the money for the credit rather than force the students to potentially take over $10,000 of student loans and then reimburse them later?
Well, I mean, we're kind of looking at gift horse in the mouth here, right? Which I think is a totally fair thing to do. But I would say on the company side, they're making sure that they've structured this benefit so that people have to commit and they have to follow through. Otherwise, they're not going to get any of the money. And so cynically, I guess you could say that, you know, it's potentially the case that people might be attracted to work at Starbucks because of this benefit, but then might find it pretty tricky to take advantage of it.
In other words, it's structured so that students are more likely to actually graduate and not just take some courses and then not complete?
Well, yes. And I mean, that idea of attaching consequences to student aid is something that, again, has been floated around in education reform circles for quite a while. And my guess is that Howard Schultz got wind of it and he got excited about this idea. You know, he mentioned, they mentioned in the press releases that out of 135,000 U.S. employees of Starbucks, 70% are either current college students or what they call aspiring college students.
Huh.
And yeah, it's really a big number, and it makes sense when you think about what this demographic is and how many Americans in their 20s and even 30s are carrying around a few college credits but haven't managed to proceed all the way. And so the idea of backloading this benefit, I think, makes a lot of sense from that perspective.
So listeners, are there any Starbucks baristas among you right now who want to call in and tell us what you think about this announcement? Anybody planning on taking advantage of it or figuring it out and thinking, well, this is intriguing. Let me see if this can work for me. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or anyone else may call, but any current Starbucks baristas who happen to be listening right now, what do you think? And anyone else, could this be a model for the future of paying for higher education if other companies do similar things? 212-433-9692 for Anya Kamenetz from NPR's education team, also author of Generation Debt, Why Now is a Terrible Time to Be Young, and DIYU, Edupunks, Edupreneurs, and the Coming Transformation of Higher Education. And this is WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River, New York and New Jersey Public Radio. And Anya, you wrote that this program addresses a serious problem in education known as swirling. And that's not a reference about how to make a Frappuccino.
That's right.
What's swirling?
Well, swirling is simply a term for the very large proportion of students these days who enroll and then re-enroll from two-year colleges to four-year colleges. Oftentimes, it's very difficult for your credits to transfer. And, you know, what they say is that life gets in the way. And that's how we came to this position where we have 37 million Americans with some college and no degree.
Some college and no degree. So what you were talking about earlier. And many large service companies offer help with tuition and have for some time. Walmart and Costco have a discounted tuition program with American Public University. UPS has a tuition reimbursement program. McDonald's and Dunkin' Donuts have an online degree program. We read that Apple offers some of its employees up to $5,000 a year. Home Depot does it up to $2,500. Chick-fil-A has some scholarship programs. So why did this announcement from Starbucks make so much news?
Well, I think there's two sides of it. Obviously, Starbucks is a very high-profile corporation, and they've built an image already as being a particularly conscientious service employer, and so it fits that narrative. On the other hand, I think it's fair to look at the partner that they've chosen. Arizona State University really represents, I think, you know, for better and for worse, the most of what's going on with innovation in higher education right now.
Which means what?
Well, you know, they are very focused on student success. They're very focused on using software tools, both for their on-campus students as well as their off-campus students. They, Michael Crow, the president, has said that of 16,000 courses offered, 10,000 have some online component. You know, they have 70,000 students on the campus there.
Wow.
And yeah, I mean, this is a big state university. But over the dozen or so years that the president's been there, he's been laser focused on student success. And they've attained a really high graduation rate, actually, for a university that size. It's actually 57.5%. And for a public university, mm-hmm. That's amazing.
And they're doing all this online stuff. They buy underwriting on this station, advertising their online their online degrees.
Well, and speaking of that, I mean, that's definitely a direction that they're expanding aggressively into. Interestingly, for, you know, people who watch New York City education, their big partner in the online programs is Pearson. And they've outsourced a lot of their functions of the online courses to Pearson's technology.
Right. And if they're okay. So we're going to go to another call. Shane in Morris County. You're on WNYC. Hi, Shane.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. So you're a barista at Starbucks?
Yeah, actually, even though Starbucks could offer me anything, you know, free college education, anything, I would never take it as long as they continue to support the Israeli Defense Force.
Okay. I think that gets to another issue that's for a different segment. But Ariel in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello, Ariel.
Hello, Brian. Yeah, this program they have with Starbucks feels kind of similar to what Home Depot does. I don't know if they still do it today, but when I worked for Home Depot, they told me about some type of college reimbursement plan that I actually did for only college students are actually going for degrees in either like anything that has to do with business, advertising, business administration, and they just basically just reimburse you back a certain part of the tuition. You just got to show them you have to show me your finances and show them the type of class you take, and they just reimburse you. It doesn't matter if you're full time or part time.
Ariel, thank you very much. So there's another model. So what's in this for Starbucks, Anya? It's an interesting offer. It shows Howard Schultz's commitment to something, as you were describing. But is it also a way to compete for employees? Do they have trouble getting the qualified baristas that they want, and so they're offering a new benefit? Remember, that's how health insurance came to be tied to our workplaces in the United States decades ago. Does this have anything to do with competing for the workforce that they want?
You know, I think it does have to do with being an attractive employer and wanting to maintain that image for its customers as well. I mean, Starbucks was very careful about the details of this rollout. They didn't put it out quietly, and they certainly were speaking to the broader public as well that has this image of Starbucks being a socially conscious corporation.
Stephen in Highland Park, you're on WNYC. Hi, Stephen.
Hi. I was just looking online. I haven't quite found it yet. But when I read about this yesterday, I came across a blog post saying, but wait a minute, Starbucks already had an educational benefit, and it used to be that you could go anywhere you want. And now they're requiring you that you go to Arizona State University online, which actually, to tell you the truth, is kind of a subpar education, as many of these online things are. I shuddered when I hear that they're partnering with Pearson. I'm an educator myself. I'm a college educator. And I've seen Pearson. I do not trust Pearson one bit. They're for profit, not for education. And I don't know, you know, it seems like it's a reduction in benefits, not a something new. What does your caller or guest know about this?
Well, it's true that they are discontinuing their previous tuition reimbursement. However, as far as I know, that reimbursement was offered only at a local institution in Washington State, as well as Strayer, which is a for-profit. And it does seem to me, I mean, the question of quality and online is a very contested one right now. It's certainly the case that, you know, many for-profits have been questionable in their quality. Arizona State is part of a new breed of large public institutions that are getting into the online higher ed market and trading on their good name and hopefully offering something of a higher quality as well. You know, when it comes to ASU Online, we do know that they trumpet a particular statistic, which is the number of students who proceed from semester to semester, which isn't necessarily the same thing as a graduation rate, but that is extremely high. And so that's the kind of thing that they focus on and track very closely. It's 90% that, you know, finish one semester and then go on to the next. So, you know, I mean, the bigger question is, would this be a more generous benefit if people could attend anywhere they wanted? And obviously it would be.
And I think Ellie in Brooklyn wants to push back on the idea of online education. Hi, Ellie. You're on WNYC.
Hi. So I'm actually a student who does work about 25 hours a week. And this past semester, I got almost all A's because of the brick-and-mortarness of my college.
How do you know it's because of the brick-and-mortarness of your college?
Sorry?
How do you know it's because of the brick-and-mortarness of your college?
Well, I use this magical thing in college that professors offer, called office hours. And like, I know that I've met with my professors on many occasions, and they've really molded me into this academic or proto-academic is what I'm trying to achieve.
Right. So thank you. And, you know, you understand the concern, Anya. How are Arizona State and other online-oriented universities or universities with online programs compensating for what is lost when there isn't brick and mortarness, including professors' office hours.
Well, it's really interesting. ASU Online happens to partner with a company called Inside Track that I've looked into a little bit, and they offer basically coaching services by phone for student success. And it's a type of thing where there's a person who has your file, and they see how you're doing in your classes, and they call you up and talk to you about any problems that you need to solve. And it's a commercialized form of something that in an idealized world, everybody would be getting face-to-face, in a small liberal arts setting. But the fact is that, working adults are choosing online education because it offers the convenience and the anywhere, anytime. And if there's a way to blend that with the online delivery with some of this human face to the services, I don't see that as a bad option for people. I mean, the problem is, obviously, if that's their only option.
Ernesto in Fairlawn works at Starbucks, I think. Hi, Ernesto.
Hi, how are you, Brian? Long-time listener. Love your show.
Thanks.
I've been working at Starbucks for 3 years, and I actually took part in their reimbursement program where you could go to any school and it would just be $500 given back to you. And I think this is a great opportunity, especially for someone who doesn't have their bachelor's and for someone working towards it, because if you're going to work, you might as well get your degree online while you're doing it.
Ernesto, thank you very much. So let's indulge for a minute on your comments in thinking about this model on a larger scale. We have employer-based health insurance, as I mentioned. Could we have employer-based higher education, and would we want to?
This is such a fascinating time because there's so many competing models out there for how we're going to provide this crucial opportunity to people. And, we had Obama last week talking about trying to make student loans more affordable. Tuition keeps increasing both in the private and the public sector, and so does debt. There's proposals on the state level, including in Tennessee earlier this year, and there's a launch and announcement today of a large organization that wants to create sort of basically scholarship programs to make public universities free. And now we have this idea, this model of employer-based higher education or tuition benefits and lowering some of the costs through online delivery. So, I think all of these things are out there. They're all symptoms of the pressure that everybody's feeling to make sure that more kids get through college.
Can you think of lessons or shortcomings from employer-based health insurance that we could apply to the higher education model? Or is that too specific a question?
No, not at all. Obviously, there's a question of people being tied to their jobs, to not having the choices. I mean, this is basically managed education in the sense that Starbucks is choosing for you what school you're going to go to. I mean, that's not really a decision that I want my coffee company to be making. People have a limited choice of undergraduate majors. Somebody pointed out that there was a young person profiled in the Times story about this, and he said he wanted to be a music major. Well, you can't really do that online. They're not an infinite number of options. And then there's a larger question of, if this really is a public good, education and healthcare are public goods, why are we leaving it up to private sector to provide that at their leisure?
One of our callers wants to know, what are the tax implications? Do you happen to know if this reimbursement for college tuition, and we're talking maybe $10,000, $11,000 even, is taxable as income? Health benefits are not, which is actually a big issue.
You'd probably have to talk to a tax attorney. I know that there's a tuition tax credit, and if you're not paying the tuition, if you get reimbursed for the tuition, it would certainly affect your ability to claim that tax credit. But by and large, I don't know if it can be considered taxable income.
All right. You will have to work that out for yourself, baristas, or just ask your supervisor because they probably know. But we will have to leave it there on your comments. These days on NPR's education team, and she's also the author of Generation Debt, Why Now is a Terrible Time to Be Young, and DIYU, Edupunks, Edupreneurs, and the Coming Transformation of Higher Education. Anya, thanks a lot.
Thanks so much, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Stay with us. Next, can the GOP win back Latinos despite Eric Cantor's loss? We're going to play a pretty remarkable moment, I think, of Lindsey Graham on Face the Nation from Sunday. And then former Mets pitcher R.A. Dickey with his new children's book, Knuckleball Ned, and on reading books in the bullpen. Stay with us.